Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary Live Cynical Series. And this is the ebook series where we take Reverend Father Joseph Leo Iannuzzi's doctoral dissertation and we methodically go through it, taking our time and just experiencing this wonderful gift that, again, another gift that God has given us to help us understand the writings of the Book of Heaven. So we're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. We thank you, most holy Trinity, for enabling us to enter into union with you by means of prayer. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Fiat. The School of Mary invocation. O Mary, Mother of Mercy, Queen of the Divine Will, please teach us to love Jesus and live in the spirit of our vocation more and more, the spirit of faith, hope, and love, the spirit of obedience and of loving the holy will of God, the spirit of chastity, poverty, and humility, the spirit of mercy and apostolic zeal for the salvation of souls, especially those whom the boundless mercy of your divine Son has entrusted to us. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, please pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, just a joy to come together. Grateful to have awakened today. Both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time. We really are, and I think we're recognizing that each and every day. With us, Maureen. I think I just unmuted Maureen. Hi, Maureen.
Hi, Peter. Hi, everybody.
Yeah, Maureen. You know, I was thinking about this whole ebook series and about Father's dissertation. I was looking at when it was completed. It was completed in 2012, December 4th, I think it was. So it was basically almost 10 years and a week ago that this work was completed. And it's so interesting. It's so, I'm shocked by it, because I guess it's the best way. Every time I read it and I go to the back and I use the glossary, what a great tool it is to help us understand. And I want to bring that this quote up that recently was shared with me again to help remind me. The Archbishop, the late Archbishop Batista Pecera, Pecheri has asked that all who read these writings be guided by a priest for any theological questions that they may have. End quote. I know we've gotten some phone calls and some emails. Father Celso reminds us of this, but I think it may have been misunderstood by some. This, by all means, does not mean do not read, do not study, do not gather in cenacles, do not share your thoughts. All of this is actually very, very supportive of Archbishop. In fact, maybe I'll post the entire letter that he sent out, because he says he doesn't want to dampen the spirit. He says, by all means, I support you gathering, I support you reading, I support you studying all of this. The issue is, or the element is, that when we come to something that's ambiguous, or if we're in a group, a cynical group of more than one person, and we have a difference of opinion on something, you know, we need to get a grounding. Because of course, you know, if we allow not the full understanding of it to just foster and then we move on, you know, a great deal may be lost. So that's when we really need, in essence, the help of a priest that's familiar, of course, with the divine will, and a theologian if it can be. But a priest, again, guided by the Holy Spirit in the divine will, would be great. But there are very few of them. So I was just thinking, Maureen, you know, here we have this dissertation. Father was asked by the Archbishop in Corrado 2000 to translate the writings, and he did so. And he actually was so enamored by what he read, he decided to use it, Father Iannuzzi, for his dissertation in mystical theology. And again, what he's done is he summarized. So again, nothing is ambiguous here. So if we have something that we're not sure of, we go to the Book of Heaven, we get the passages, and we go to the, again, I can't think of a greater support that then again, this gift of living the divine will and the writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picetta. And again, this is the early ecumenical councils, the patristics and the contemporary theology. Again, this book is incredible. Again, as we await the critical edition to be released by the Vatican, we're not sure when that may be. We need to get as deep as we can in this, in truth and understanding it to the best of our ability. But I guess, having this dissertation, I know of a few synodal groups that actually use this for their basis, for their thesis, in essence, as they enter into the synodal. Because again, you have it summarized. You have, again, this was given abrogation by the Gregorian University of Rome, which is authorized by the Holy See. So the university speaking on behalf of the Holy See and giving Father abrogation or approval, actually with high accolades for this. So it's all here, and we can't go wrong here. So again, following the advice of the late Archbishop, be guided by a priest for any theological questions that we may have. Again, it's good to have them answered, and it's good to have them answered as quickly as we can. So the book is there. We have, you can always send an email into Mary's Hill. We'll do our best to get it to Father Celso, to Father Anuzzi, to Mother Gabriel, to get a clarification on something. But again, this is really, really great. It's available on Father's website at ltdw.org. It's available on hard copy, soft copy, and also on an ebook version also. Again, Father asks a price so that he can replenish his supplies. But again, everyone should have a copy of this. I really believe that sincerely. So if you're having a situation where perhaps you just can't afford this or can't expend this at this time, send an email to us in confidence. We'll be very quiet about this. Just send an email to Mary's Hill at queenofthedivineworld.org. We'll make sure we get you a copy because, again, Father Anuzzi wants everyone to have one. So again, if money is an object, it's no object. Send an email into Mary's Hill and we'll take care of it, and we'll get it to you as quickly as we can because it's a treasure. It's also a treasure having Maureen. Maureen, we talked about the divine will being a cog. And again, I keep reading this and I keep getting a little bit more because, again, I'm very slow. But if you really want to get the full breadth of this, it's in volume 16, February 2nd, 1924. In essence, what he's doing is God is calling a small group, a few souls, to become so intimately close to him, whereas he's sharing everything to us so that we may, in essence, through our fiat, be able to allow God to share all of this or trigger God to shower all with grace and graces. And I think Maureen spoke about this. It's almost like a dew. You can't see it happening, but it's happening all around us every moment. And this is what our job is. It's the repair and redo. And as we make the acts and the rounds, again, this is triggering God to give a grace so that all will be receptive. All will understand or at least recognize that this is something spectacular. It's something, nothing compares to it. And this is the end all. This is everything God has wanted us to know about and everything that we have been searching for in our lives. So, but Maureen, I would like to read, or mm-hmm. if you may, mm-hmm. two lines here, which I think summarize it, and then we can move on. Let me just get the pointer out here. And this is incredible. Okay, thanks.
It will happen as to one who has learned music, a job, or a science. When music is played, many listen and enjoy it. But who understands it? Who feels all those notes of joy or of sorrow penetrate into his intelligence and descend into his heart? Who feels as though fill and sees in act the scene which that music expresses? One who has studied and who has worked hard in order to learn it. The others enjoy, but do not understand. They're enjoying. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and this is not, we're not putting anyone down. When Jesus says that they didn't understand, again, God's giving, this is a gift. It's nothing we've earned, nothing we've done. So let's get that out of our minds right away. Nothing we've done that warrants us receiving this. This is a gift. This is a mystical gift. The Father Anuzzi explains to us, mystical gifts are not given equally like our baptismal gifts are. They're given by God to whomever God wishes, when he wishes, to whatever extent he wishes. It's a gift. nothing we can do to earn this. So we have to be so grateful to have awakened again to recognize that we have this gift. And now it's up to us to unveil it. We've got to figure out what's going on here. And God's going to do that for us. He's going to do it for us, but he wants our effort. He wants us to take that first step. And then he's going to run the race. So please, when you have a moment, volume 16, February 2nd, 1924. Okay. And again, I will also make available the entire letter. Because the thing the Archbishop does, he supports us meeting. He supports Cenacles forming, the sharing, the reading, the studying of it. I mean, this has to happen. But when we have that ambiguity, when we have that theological question, as the Archbishop explained, again, none of us are in that position to answer that fully and completely and with 100% accuracy. So we opt for the priest. And again, we have to our disposal, right at our disposal, Father Nuzzi, Father Celso, Mother Gabriel. We've got everything we really need in order to move forward in this. Okay, so Maureen, I know we're still on footnote number 285, but maybe we can just take this first paragraph of this summary, and we'll stop after 286. Again, this is the summary that Father Annuzzi developed. He wrote, he summarized, and again, he shows us also where he obtained this information, to corroborate his summary, he drives us into the volumes through the footnotes. And that's what we've been doing for the last few weeks. And we're going to continue, hopefully, to do today.
5.3.7.3, the human will's passivity and propensity to continuously cooperate with the divine will and to share in God's immutability. If Maximus maintains that divine love is a fully theandric reality in the soul, Louisa relates that in the soul in whom God's own love abides, its human acts are absorbed by the divine will that keep them continuously linked to God's eternal operation and establish in it a theandric reality. In her depictions of Adam's prelapsarian acts in the divine will, Louisa underscores this Maximian reality. Adam's obediential passivity to the divine will allowed God to precede, accompany, and follow all that which he did in Eden. God operation preceded Adam's acts.
Yeah, the reason I wanted to do the overflow is because this is so important. And this really, we're taught that, whenever we're facing tough situations, we're going to receive the grace and graces necessary to get through it. God knows what we can handle and he won't give us anything that he knows we can't handle. But to understand that grace anticipates the soul is so fantastic because, again, whatever the world throws at us, whatever God's permissible will allows in our lives, if we know that, and if we believe that grace anticipates the soul, then we have nothing to worry about. Remember how we wondered how those saints like St. Lawrence, Deacon Lawrence, being burned at the stake, he would smile and say, turn me over, I'm done.
Right.
Meanwhile, his flesh is dripping off his bones. How can you do this? Of course, through the grace of God. So God, again, promises us that he's going to, his grace will anticipate whatever situation that we're going to be facing. And Maureen, I do have a little bit of a short thing on that also, if we may, please.
Okay. While the soul experiences this state, God communicates his grace, the grace of true and eternal love. I limit myself to adding that grace anticipates the soul. It arouses it, but only when the soul masticates and digests these truths, as the body consumes and digests food, does the grace communicated then enter to take possession of the soul. This is why not everyone receives the effects described above. For some, let such grace escape their minds like bright flashes, and they fail to make any room for it.
And Maureen, we talked about this before also. We love how God uses, examples of our everyday life, and especially when it comes to like chewing food and consuming food. And why do we consume food? We consume food for the nutrients, not just to chew on something, because the body needs it for life or vitality. He's using it also here. Also, as long as the soul or when the soul masticates and digests these truths, as the body consumes and digests food, does the grace communicate, then enter into possession. Again, we talked about this nurse, the body, when it consumes food and digests it, then everything is permeated out to the cells and everything is revitalized through the feeding of those nutrients. And it's the same effect here when it comes to the grace and graces. God is waiting. He can't wait to give us everything, the full understanding. But he can only do it up to the level of A, our desire, and B, how we effectuate our desire. How do we show our desire? Of course, by picking up the book or listening to it online, journeying in the divine world, joining a cenacle, some method of growing in the divine will. It is a way we can show God that we want this. And the more we show him we want this, of course, the more he says, I'm going to reciprocate. I'm going to give you exactly what you want. I'm going to give you the better understanding. So again, I think this is so comforting, Maureen, know that whatever we go through, when times get difficult, and I think they will get difficult, perhaps very soon, that everything is going to be okay. Because again, grace anticipates the soul. God knows exactly what we need, when we need it, and that's where we're going to get it. If we got it earlier, we would probably squander it. It's like getting that money exactly when you're in dire needs of it. But if you had it a month or two early, it would be maybe perhaps squandered on something else. So he gives it to us. He holds it back. He's like the fiduciary trust. He holds it back and gives it to us only when we need it. And that's what's great. But we have that comfort. We have that that confidence to know that it'll be there when we need it.
You have to have the trust, right? Because some of the things you read, maybe you're not understanding totally, but you're believing it. And I think it has to go right to the heart. Jesus said it, this is going to happen, end of story. You don't have to analyze, and you have to believe that these words that he's saying, even if you don't quite understand them, it doesn't matter, because we're newborns. Do we understand everything when you're a newborn? No, but we believe, and our mother takes us in her arms and she feeds us, and we trust that she's going to do it. And that's, with the Lord, every word he says, I think we've, in our English language, maybe other languages too, I don't know, we talk a lot, but the words don't really, I don't know, not that they don't mean anything, or we don't really mean what we say and say what we mean, but with the Lord and with these words, everything he says is truth. And if we trust them, then I mean, I think that's the biggest thing, is the trust. If you're going to read the divine will, you have to trust every word that you read.
That's true. Very true. And when Jesus says also, Maureen, that he loves to hear the creature, he loves to hear us express our wants, our desires, our adoration in words. He likes to hear our words. And then just to your point, a lot of times we say a lot of words and it really doesn't mean anything. Let's call them, for lack of a better phrase, frivolous words or frivolous conversation. If God really loves to hear us communicate, how many times have we made him listen to something that's horrible, or that really had no benefit to either us or anyone else around us, that didn't give glory to God at any effect, definitely not on the level of God. So again, our vernacular, our use of language, when God tells us he likes to hear us verbalize, vocalize, even if you can vocalize with your vocal cords, or you can also vocalize interiorly, subliminally. You can just speak internally, and that's also the words that he likes us to hear. He wants us to speak to him. So again, I think knowing that, I know I try to be a lot more careful in my speech and when I do it and when I don't do it, because God's listening. It's not like we can hide from everyone here in the world. We can't hide from God. He hears everything. So
he does.
Scary thought, actually, but not now, because now we know, and now we know we know. Okay, so that's okay. Where were we now? Okay, so Adam's obediential passivity to the divine will allow God to proceed, accompany, and follow all that which he did in Eden. That's footnote number 285. And Maureen, we did cover the first couple paragraphs here, but what I thought is, I'm not going to stop a lot. I think this really flows well, and we have time. Maybe we'll start from the beginning, and we'll just take it to each one of the crosses, and that way I think we can finish this out.
Okay. Volume 14, June 15th, 1922. The divine heartbeat is the little cell of the soul who lives in the divine will and makes everything harmonize within the creature. Continuing in my usual state, I was thinking about the holy will of God. And while I was fusing myself in it, my always lovable Jesus told me, "My daughter, my eternal will was the central point of my life, from the first act of my conception up to my last breath. It preceded me, it accompanied me, becoming the life of my act, and it followed me, enclosing my act in the eternal sphere of my will, from which it could find no way out. And since my eternal will was immense, there was not one point which it would not encircle, nor generation in which it would not dominate. Therefore, it was as though natural for it to form my acts and to multiply them for all, as if they were for one alone. An individual can give only what he possesses, as much power as he may contain. He cannot give more than what he possesses. Now, my will possessed the immensity, the power of the multiplication of acts into as many as it wanted, the eternity in which it overwhelmed all things present to everyone, as in the beginning of all things, so until the end. This is why, from the first moment of my conception, the power of my will formed as many conceptions for as many creatures as would come to existence. It multiplied my words, thoughts, works, and steps, and extended them from the first to the last man. The power of the eternal volition converted my blood, my pains, into immense seas of which all could avail themselves. If it wasn't for the prodigy of the supreme will, my very redemption would have been individual, circumscribed, and only for a few generations.
Yeah, that's really important, because God is explaining to us here, you know, especially in the end there, about, you know, doing the will of the Father placed him in the eternal now and his acts, so that all generations can benefit from his birth, death, and resurrection, where he states here that if that wasn't the case, it would only assist only a few generations. So that's really important. And that goes for us too. When we have that opportunity to have a gift on loan, again, if we're in the state of grace, Jesus says, and have a ardent desire for this gift, we may receive that gift on loan at any moment. We may not even know it. Probably don't. We wouldn't know it. But it's usually for one act. And that's what Jesus says. So if we have that one act, again, effectuating all past, present, and future, all souls. So if you want to be a humble hero, this is the greatest way to do it. I mean, you don't just help your family, you don't just help your neighbors, you don't just help your friends, you help everyone, all of humanity. It's incredible. Another point too was in the beginning, Jesus mentions, again, I think this sets the stage for everything. He says that my daughter, my eternal will was the central point of my life, from the first act of my conception to the last breath. It accompanied me, becoming the life of my act. So everything was the divine will. And that's what he has come for, to bring us back. In fact, he says that in volume 14, September 11th, 1922. Jesus says, quote, "Therefore, there is nothing I did which did not have as its primary purpose that man take possession of my divine will and I of his. This was my primary purpose in creation, the same in redemption. The sacraments I instituted and the many graces given to my saints have been the means to let man reach this possession of my divine will," end quote. So everything that we've received from Holy Mother Church has had as its primary purpose to bring us back to the order, the place, and the purpose for which we're created by God. So that's why the church is constantly moving. And again, because humans are involved, this is not Christ's church in heaven. You're taking two steps forward and you're taking one step back. We just have to be very careful not to be despondent or go against the church when it takes its one step back, knowing that it's going to take another two steps forward. At the end of the day, if you take two steps, I mean, I was terrible in math, but I know that if you take two steps forward and one step back, at the end of that, you actually took one step forward. Right? Is that correct, Mark?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So we're still going forward. So that's a good thing. And that's why the church, like Father Cecil says, it can't go back to the 50s. It cannot. It has to keep moving because its primary purpose, as Jesus stated, was to bring us back to the order, the place, and the purpose which were created by God. And again, this prodigy of the supreme will, my very redemption would have been individual. But again, it wasn't. It's for all souls, past, present, and future. That's incredible.
Okay. Yes. Now, my will has not changed. What it was, it is, and will be. More so, since I myself came upon earth, and I came to tie once again in the divine will to the human. And for the soul who does not escape from this tie and places herself at the mercy of the divine will, letting herself be preceded, accompanied, and followed, enclosing her act in my volition, that which happened to me happens to her.
I thought it was really interesting when he uses the words like, for example, and for the soul who does not escape. I mean, usually in our vernacular, you know, it's a good thing to escape, right? Because you're being imprisoned somewhere. But he says here, I came to earth. I came to tie once again, to fuse those wills, the divine will, the human will, for all souls. Then he says, and for the soul who does not escape from this tie, and place yourself at the mercy of divine. So whoever doesn't reject, we can say, doesn't reject this, or doesn't deny this, or doesn't believe this, letting yourself be preceded, accompanied, and followed, enclosing her act in my volition, that which happened to me happens to her. So again, he wants to hold us so tightly that we can't move. In fact, think about this. That's what makes sense also with Louisa, Maureen. He put Louisa in bed, you know, she didn't walk, she didn't go anywhere. Then he took everything. He actually took all the human things away, all the earthly things away, all the things we have to do on this earth. In heaven, we don't eat. In heaven, we don't sleep. So he was actually preparing her, but he was also isolating her from all the distractions, from all the negativity, from all the news. Remember, she went through a couple of world wars you know, didn't blink an eye. Again, we can do the same thing even in the world where we don't allow these things to happen to us, where we don't get distracted, emotionally distracted by the events that are going on. So I just thought that's very interesting. But again, for anyone who does not escape, it's glory in this particular case. But in other cases, it's usually a good thing if you escape from wherever you are, because you probably don't want to be there. But here you want to be, that's for sure. Okay, so here's where we're picking up. I know you're saying finally. And this is new. Great. Thanks, Marie.
Okay. See, as you were fusing your thoughts, your words, your works, your reparations, your little love in my will, I extended them, I multiplied them, and they became antidote for each thought and for each work, reparation for each offense, and love for each love that is due to me.
We've talked about, this is not the first time Jesus used the word antidote. And an antidote, nurse, help me. An antidote mm-hmm. typically is used to cure or to remedy something mm-hmm. you've either ingested or inhaled or something. Mm-hmm. Something that to make you better, right? To make you new.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So he said that the divine will is the antidote for all of the world's poison, for all the world's evils. It's the way to combat it. It's the only way to combat it, if you think about it. And, you know, when I first heard that, Maureen, I understood it, you know, from a perspective of grace and through God. But, I mean, of what he's going to do, and he's going to help us with our, of course, get through to our salvation, to live eternally with him. but it's also the antidote to the pains that we're going to suffer, physical, emotional, spiritual pains, throughout this journey on earth as we're in this probationary period, you know, hoping to make it and pass the test to receive, again, that glorious return. But it is the antidote to all the ills, all the negativity, all the bad news, all the problems that we're going to experience or are experiencing or the world is experiencing and we're just witnessing it. This is the antidote. This is what's going to make everything better. It's going to heal everything that's broken. And again, I think things have to get even more broken before they get better, because it's like that yo-yo. Once you let the yo-yo go, there's no way you're going to be able to pull it back up into your hand unless it fully extends. So again, Jesus says evil will exhaust itself. I mean, evil can only get as evil is. I mean, how evil, you know, like what can you do to our body? They can only do one thing, that can, you know, destroy it. But how evil can they do? They can burn it. They can bury it. They can't go past that. They can't take our soul. That's the only thing. We give that up if we have that fortune to do. But evil will exhaust itself. So this is the antidote. This is the way to be happy, to be content, to be cheerful. Because again, there may be people relying on us for that levity, for that little bit of a smile, for that little pat on the back. Remember, we talked about charity as being the pinnacle, a conduit to all virtues. No virtue grows without charity, our blessed Lord stated. I don't have the passage in front of me. We did that like a week or so ago. So to have charity, and you know, when we think of charity, we think usually of financial means. So charity comes in a myriad of different ways. Charity can be a smile. Charity can be an opening the door. Charity can be a conversation with somebody who's lonely. I mean, charity comes in a whole different varieties. So to be charitable, again, we're taking that antidote and we're sharing it. Even if those souls that we're coming in contact with don't have understanding of the divine will, or maybe not even heard of it, we're beginning to breach the surface of it. And once we do that, of course, then people are going to start to take notice and say, wow, what's your secret? I want to have this peace. I want to have this joy. What are you doing? And that's, of course, the door opener for introducing the gift of the divine will. Any other thoughts on that?
No, you said it all.
Oh, I said too much, but antidote is a very strong word. And again, probably a word worth meditating on to see what God wants to expand that in our minds and our souls. Okay.
And if this does not happen, it is the human will's fault, which, not abandoning itself completely prey to the divine will, does not take everything, nor can it give itself to everyone. So it feels the sensations of what is human, which can make it unhappy, circumscribe it, impoverish it, and render it incomplete.
I think it's just basically what we just talked about, how, you know, feels the sensations of what is human, you know, the human misery, which make it unhappy, circumscribe, impoverish it, render it incomplete. Nor can it give itself to everyone. That's what's so great about this gift. And I forget this so often, Maria. Journeying in this gift, being allowed to do an act of the divine will, triggering God to dispose grace, oozing in love to all souls, to be able to recognize what we recognize, to be able to understand what we understand, to whatever level. We're just scratching the surface. But this is the greatest way, in essence, if you think about it, this is the greatest way to share the divine will. We don't have to say anything. We don't have to communicate with anyone. God's doing all the work. We're just sort of triggering this grace that God can't wait. I think that's how he allows us to participate. Or I like to say, he allows us to ride on his coattail. He's doing all the walking, but he's bringing us along for the journey, just like a parent or parents would take a child along for a trip, you know, never wants to be separated with us. So he's going to take us along, but he's going to be there taking the brunt of the offenses, of course, like he did and will continue to do, and leading the way. And he's going to lead us right to the Father if we allow him. But that's absolutely beautiful. Incredible. Okay.
This is the reason for all my interest, that your will live in mine, and that you understand well what it means to live in it, as much as it is possible for a creature. Because if you do this, you will have obtained everything, and will give me everything.
Okay, this reminded me, I don't know if I can find it, but do you remember, Maureen, we talked about when Jesus said about how he had to make the, I'm going to have to paraphrase, I'm sorry. He had to make this gift simple, and he had to make it available to all in every circumstance, in every location, in everyone. He had to make it available to all. Not all are going to accept it, but he had to make it available to all. And that's, I think, exactly what he's saying here. Because if you do this, you will have obtained everything and will give me everything. Again, this is reciprocal of love. That's all it is. But yeah. God is making this easy. It's really available to everyone. What does he say we have to do? We have to be in a state of grace. Jesus explains. We have to have an ardent desire. We have to have an upright intention, which means we want this for everyone, not just for our family and our friends and ourselves. And we need to ask for the gift. Again, those words that he likes to hear us articulate. And hopefully we can, I can pay better attention to what I say. So all of this, again, triggers this outpouring of grace and graces, this do, as you said, Maureen, that gets dispersed when no one's seeing it. It's like fleece. It's like rain on fleece, as St. Cyril Jerusalem says. That's what the divine will is. You can't see it. It's interior. It's hidden. It's beautiful.
That's neat. Okay. Having said this, he disappeared, but later he came back again and made himself seen all wounded. Those wounds formed many little cells in which Jesus called the souls to enclose them and keep them safe. I said to him, "My love, what about my little cell? Where is it so that I may enclose myself in it, never to go out again?" And Jesus, "My daughter, for you there are no little cells in my body, because one who lives in my will cannot live in one compartment of mine, but must live in the heartbeat of my heart."
Beautiful. The reason why I decided to stop here just quickly, only because I can't get out of my mind also what Jesus told us about his privation, when he allows us to be deprived of him. What he says in the beginning, having said this, he disappeared. He does this to give us opportunity. I don't have the passage in front of me. I wish I did. But he speaks about the privation allows for a redoubling of love towards Jesus. Mm. So again, we're loving in trust and faith without seeing, without the company of directly. So he's giving us that opportunity to redouble love for himself. And then he explains why he's doing that. Not just to redouble love, but that redoubling of love is used and served to fill our voids. Remember, there's two voids. There's a void that God gave us in the cavity of our soul, which is there, that space to house God, to take in all of God. The second void is not a good void. It's a negative void. It's that those missed opportunities to give glory and honor to God on the level of God, due to God. Those are the voids that must be filled, Jesus says, before we can enter heaven. So God is giving us this opportunity by this privation, which again, looks like a bad thing, but it's actually a good thing. It allows us to redouble, to catch up and to refill those voids more quickly so that, he says, we may do it if we do it for the rest of our life, he says, that we can redouble this love and fill those voids so we can do it on earth instead of having to do it in purgatory. Hence, that's how we can avoid purgatory if that's done properly. That's incredible.
That is incredible.
What a gift. What a gift.
Okay. The heartbeat is the center in the life of the human body. If the heartbeat ceases, life ceases. The heartbeat maintains the blood circulation, the heat, the breathing, and therefore the strength and the activity of the members. If the heartbeat is not regular, all the human faculties are in disorder. Even the intelligence loses liveliness, ingenuity, and the fullness of the intellectual light. In fact, in creating man, I placed a special sound in his heart to which I band the eternal harmony in such a way that if the heartbeat is healthy, everything is harmony in the creature. Now my will is like the heartbeat in the creature. If it palpitates, sanctity harmonizes, the virtues harmonize. She harmonizes between heaven and earth. Her harmony extends up to the sacrosanct Trinity. This is why for you, there is my heartbeat that offers itself as a little cell in order to enclose you in it, and so that, palpitating with one single heartbeat, you may harmonize between heaven and earth, circulate in the past, in the present, and in the future, and be present in everything, you circulating in me, and I in you.
I like to hear that like 10 times over again.
Yeah, that's something. Wow.
Jesus also explains to us that living in the divine will is like living halfway between heaven and earth. And he mentions it here. He says, you may harmonize between heaven and earth, circulating the past and the present and the future. Again, this paradigm shift of being able to do this. Again, we're not doing anything. God is doing it. God is elevating our acts. He's allowing us to repair and redo. We can't repair anything. I can't repair my sink, let alone my soul. And he's doing it all for us. But he waits again. What does he wait for? He waits for us to be in the state of grace so that we can be pure as we can. He waits for us to have an ardent desire to truly want what he wants to give us, to know what it is, to intellectualize it, but then allow it to permeate. So to opt for it, to say, yes, I want that. To have that upright intention, to want this for all souls, not just for a small group or just my cynical group, for all people, past, present, future, friends, foes, everyone. And again, to ask for the gift. State of grace, upright intention, ardent desire, and ask for the gift. That's all he says it is. And what did he say again? He said, I had to keep this simple. I had to make this available for everyone in all situations, all circumstances. So for all individuals, all circumstances, and all places. So no one is exempt from the opportunity of this gift. And again, we can't forget the fact that this is a gift, nothing we've done to earn it. And no matter how hard we work, we cannot earn it. It's a gift. It's a mystical gift. Our response, in essence, will be our work. Thanks be to God for everything he's done for each and every one of us. It's all here. It's all here for us. Any closing thoughts, Emery?
Well, I don't know if this has anything to do with what you were just saying, but I was thinking today how, you know, you see on the news or wherever you get your information. I don't tend to get it from the television, but these pictures of these young boys in the war, you know, in the war now in Russia, and I just feel so like I want to do something. And in the divine will, we can take the blood of Jesus with Our Lady and pour it over these young boys. And it's such a gift to be able to do that, to bilocate with the Mary and go into these places. And just picture yourself pouring the blood of Jesus over these poor boys that are, you know, I think it says the lead of the enemy is all around them. And in the rounds, you know, how you take the blood of Jesus with Our Lady. What a gift. It gives me such peace to be able to help in some way these poor souls that are fighting in the cold, terrain in a war that is so terrible, as they all are. But anyway, I just wanted to, like, I guess say that out loud and thank God for that gift that we have in the divine will to be able to do that.
That's true. Again, that's our charity. We can help, but not in a conventional way that we might have been able to years ago. I mean, who can get on a plane and go to, you know, some troubled place in the world? Who would want to do that, number one? And then how would you even get close to those souls to comfort them? You probably couldn't.
No.
You'd either be killed or stopped from doing so.
Yeah.
But here you can do it.
Yeah, I know.
Again, in all places, in all circumstances. And again, I think this was, again, the lesson of why he put Louisa to bed. He told Louisa, yeah, you're to look like you're doing nothing while you're doing everything.
Yeah.
Again, to show that he's doing all the work.
Yeah.
And nothing is impossible with God. And that's a great point, because that's a travesty, really. There's a book, paperback book called The Fatima, the Great Conspiracy. Yeah. And it's spoken through a Catholic perspective, and it talks about how almost every war in the 20th century has been contrived and orchestrated.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
These poor children, really.
Yeah, they're children.
Have given up their lives for this purpose. So we pray for them, and yeah, we can help them again through the hours of the Passion,
yeah,
through the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom. Through our acts and our rounds every day, we have the opportunity.
It keeps us connected. It keeps us connected in a way that we never knew before. I mean, we can pray, you know, we always could pray, but this is something different to be able to go there and be with Our Lady. And heck, we could go into the World War One and Two foxholes, you know, I mean, it doesn't stop. It's amazing. To be able to help our fellow
divine holiness, right?
Yeah.
It really puts an explanation to that, Maureen, when you poise it like that.
Yeah.
This is the new and divine way of holiness.
Yeah.
That God's affording us the opportunity to participate in. He's not forcing us, but he's making it available. As he states, he had to make it easy. He'll make it available to all souls, in all places, in all circumstances.
Yeah.
No exclusions. Except, he says, for those who simply don't want it. That's all it is. It could be that simple. Thanks be to God. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, thanks be to God for everything. Want to just give a recap here. We've got a great weekend. Thanks be to God also. On Saturday, Father Celso will be giving us a full day of a Divine Will Day of Recollection. It'll be Louisa and Courage in the Divine Will Part 2. And that'll begin actually at 8:00 in the morning. Will be Adoration and the Holy Rosary and the Divine Will. Father's first talk will begin at 9 a.m. and will continue till 2:45 in the afternoon. So it'll be 45-minute talks with a 15-minute break. We'll go to Poland for adoration in between all the talks. So that's on Saturday from 8 in essence to 3:00 in the afternoon. On Sunday, we have two live cenacles. We've got Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters that come to us live via live stream from Italy. And that'll be at 2:00. Again, Holy Rosary and the adoration beginning at 1:00. And that'll last until 3:30 or so. And then Father Iannuzzi will join us at 4 p.m. till 5:15. We have Father for an hour and 15 minutes. And he's just going to take our divine questions and give us divine answers.
Amazing.
So again, we talk about...
the gold mine.
Yeah, well, let's go back to what the late Archbishop Pacieri had suggested and advised us to do. The Archbishop Pacieri had asked us that all who read these writings be guided by a priest for any theological questions that they may have. So any theological questions we have regarding the divine will, we have an opportunity every other Sunday, and the most recent one or the most current one coming up is this Sunday at 4 p.m. in the afternoon with Father Anuzzi. We are extremely blessed. Amen. Thanks be to God. Be kind to one another, and we'll see each other Saturday, tomorrow morning.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow morning. Okay. Love everyone.
Bye, everybody. Bye.